This is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And during the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. And this information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. The center's staff conduct innovative research and other programs in health and nutrition, and they provide consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the Center for Science in the Public Interest promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science in the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding, and Nutrition Action Health Letter, which was first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. In the cover story of the April 2012 issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter, Director of Nutrition Bonnie Lieben reports concerning how much is too much sugar. You've heard of a beer belly. Now there is evidence that the fructose in added sugars may send more of your extra calories to that bulge where your waist used to be. For years, researchers have found a higher risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, gout, and weight gain in people who consume more sugar-sweetened beverages. Now, a flurry of new studies suggest that our out-of-control sweet tooth is connected to our out-of-control belly fat. And it's that kind of fat that may cripple the body's ability to use insulin, setting the stage for diabetes and heart disease. Now, as you may know, sucrose, or table sugar, is broken down in the body and to some extent in foods to half fructose and half glucose. And at that point, it is almost identical to most high fructose corn syrup. Fruit contains a mixture of fructose, sucrose, and glucose. Soft drinks, sports drinks, fruit drinks, energy drinks, coffee drinks, cupcakes, cookies, muffins, donuts, granola bars, chocolate, ice cream, sweetened yogurt, cereal, candy. The list of sweet temptations is endless. The average American now consumes 22 to 28 teaspoons of added sugars a day. Mostly high fructose corn syrup and ordinary table sugar or sucrose. That is 350 to 440 empty calories that few of us can afford. How much added sugar is too much? Cutting back to 100 calories, or 6.5 teaspoons a day for women, or 150 calories, that is 9.5 teaspoons a day added sugar for men, might mean slimmer waistlines and a lower risk of disease. Do sugary foods and drinks deserve more blame for America's obesity epidemic than other foods? There is strong evidence linking a sugar-sweetened beverages to weight, says Vicente Malik, a research fellow at the Harvard School of Public Health. For example, when Dr. Malik and her colleagues tracked more than 50,000 women for 4 years, they found that weight gain was greatest, about 10 pounds greater, among women who went from drinking no more than one sugar-sweetened drink a week to at least one a day. But most industry-funded studies have reported no association, she notes. And this back and forth with industry has been muddying the waters. For example, a 2009 meta-analysis by scientists with industry ties found no link between soft drinks and weight in children. But there were some errors in the way they scaled the data, Dr. Malik explains. What's more, some studies in the industry-funded analysis, only compared soda drinkers to non-soda drinkers who consumed the same number of calories. It does not make sense to adjust for total calories because extra calories may explain how sugar-sweetened beverages lead to obesity, says Dr. Malik. When we reanalyzed the data correctly, there was an association between weight and sugar-sweetened beverages. Well, what about the added sugars in solid foods? There is not so much evidence for them, says Dr. Malik. We have not looked at that carefully yet. We focused on sugar-sweetened beverages because they are the largest contributor of added sugar intake, she adds, and because of the lack of compensation for liquid calories. For instance, studies find that people may compensate for the calories they get from solid foods by eating less later in the day. But that doesn't seem to happen when people drink liquid calories. In one study, people given jelly beans consumed less at subsequent meals than those who were given the same calories as liquid sugary beverages, says Dr. Malik. More evidence that sugary beverages can plaster on the pounds comes from three studies in which scientists randomly assigned people to consume either sugary beverages, that is, made with sugar or high fructose corn syrup, versus diet beverages, usually made with aspartame. And this consumption lasted for 3 to 10 weeks. Sure enough, only those who consumed sugar or high fructose corn syrup gained weight. But now researchers are hot on the trail of a new lead. Is the fructose that makes up roughly half of most added sugars more likely to migrate to your belly than elsewhere? Clearly, too many calories from anything. Sugary beverages, beer, burgers, fries, pizza, ice cream, or dozens of other foods. Clearly, too many calories from anything explains why many American wastes have been replaced by a spare tire. And studies have not found that you would gain more pounds from, say, 100 calories of added sugars than from 100 calories of other food. But calories from fructose, which is found only in added sugars and in fruit, may be more likely than other calories to aim for your waist. To find out if fructose is destined to end up around your midsection, researchers compare fructose to glucose, which is found in added sugars, but which is also the building block of starches. And the first solid evidence came in 2009. Researchers gave 32 overweight or obese middle-aged men and women 25% of their calories from beverages sweetened with either fructose or glucose for 10 weeks. Now, people in both groups gained the same weight, about 3 pounds, but their new fat did not all go to the same place. We saw an increase in visceral fat in people fed fructose, says study author Kimber Stanhope of the University of California, Davis. Visceral, or deep belly fat, is more closely linked to a higher risk of heart disease and diabetes than subcutaneous fat, that is, fat just below the skin. The high fructose corn syrup industry's scientific consultants criticized our study, says Dr. Stanhope. They said that this is meaningless. No one consumes foods sweetened with pure fructose, so no one consumes that much fructose. Now, two new studies have reported similar results with less fructose. Danish scientists assigned 47 overweight men and women to drink a liter, not quite 3 12-ounce cans, a day of one of four drinks, either regular cola sweetened with sucrose, reduced fat milk, diet cola sweetened with aspartame, or water. Remember, sucrose is half glucose and half fructose. And after 6 months, the visceral fat, the deep belly fat, went up only in those drinking regular cola. The increase in visceral fat was quite impressive, says Dr. Stanhope. And a liter is not much. Roughly half the population does not drink sugary beverages. But among the drinkers, 50%, half, swallow at least half a liter a day. And 5% gulp down at least 1 1/3 liters. Now, Swiss researchers assigned 29 healthy, normal weight men to drink beverages with one of the following: either 10 teaspoons of fructose, 20 teaspoons of fructose, 10 teaspoons of glucose, 20 teaspoons of glucose, or 20 teaspoons of sucrose each day. And these are not large amounts, notes Dr. Stanhope. A 12-ounce can of soda has about 10 teaspoons of sugars, roughly half fructose and half glucose. And the 10-teaspoon dose was only about 7% of the men's calories. But after just 3 weeks, waist-to-hip ratio rose only slightly in the men who got fructose alone or in sucrose, but not in those who got glucose. Now, measuring waist-to-hip ratio is not as accurate as measuring visceral fat, but when your waist expands, it's often because visceral fat expands. Now, with three studies, these data suggest that added sugars cause an increase in visceral fat, says Dr. Stanhope. And links between visceral fat and sugary foods or drinks are now showing up elsewhere. When University of Minnesota researchers studied nearly 800 men and women, those who drank the most sugar-sweetened beverages had more visceral fat and larger waists. We observed greater overall abdominal fat with increasing sugar-sweetened beverage consumption, and the increase in visceral fat was driving it, says Andrew Odegaard, a research associate at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. and among roughly 560 teenagers, those who consumed the most fructose, that is, from beverages and from food, had the most visceral fat, as well as the most insulin resistance, higher blood pressure, and higher blood sugar levels. We took into account a lot of variables that could make this relationship spurious. Fiber, calorie intake, fat, and lean mass, socioeconomic status, physical activity, says author Norman Pollack, an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Georgia Health Sciences University in Augusta. But the relationship with visceral fat was still there. It's not as though added sugars are the only cause of a ballooning belly. Most of our expanding waistlines is due to eating too many calories, period. But each notch on that belt could have serious consequences for your health. From what we understand, visceral fat may be what really drives insulin resistance and cardiometabolic disorders like type 2 diabetes and heart disease, says Dr. Odegaard. The link between diabetes and sugars is clearest when researchers look at sugary drinks. We summarized the results from 8 studies, explains Harvard's Vasanti Malik. And all told, the meta-analysis pulled data on more than 300,000 people. The results? For each 12-ounce serving of a sugar-sweetened beverage you drink per day, you are getting about a 15% increased risk for diabetes, says Dr. Malik. So it really does not take much to increase your risk. Fewer studies have looked at cardiovascular disease, she observes, but we also found an increased risk. When Dr. Malik and colleagues tracked 88,000 nurses for 24 years, those who consumed at least 2 sugar-sweetened beverages a day had a 35% higher risk of heart attack than those who drank less than 1 sugar-sweetened beverage a month. Sugar-sweetened beverage drinkers also have a higher risk of the metabolic syndrome, which can lead to type 2 diabetes or heart disease. Now, you have the metabolic syndrome if you have at least 3 of the following: elevated blood sugar, elevated blood triglycerides, elevated blood pressure, or elevated waist circumference, or low HDL cholesterol. In our meta-analysis, people who drank 2 or more sugar-sweetened beverages a day had about a 20% increased risk of the metabolic syndrome compared to those who drank none or less than 1 per month, says Dr. Malik. And it's not just that can of Coke. In 2010, researchers at Emory University reported that among a nationally representative sample of more than 6,000 adults, those who got more sugars from drinks and foods had lower HDL, or good cholesterol, and higher triglyceride levels in their blood. Now, elevated triglycerides, together with elevated LDL, or bad cholesterol, contributes to changes in our blood vessels that increase the risk of heart disease, explains Emory University's Gene Welch. The job of HDL cholesterol is to carry away the triglycerides and the bad or LDL cholesterol, so that they don't cause damage. But none of these studies can prove cause and effect. To find out if fructose is causing adverse effects, you have to give people fructose or glucose drinks for months, says Dr. Pollack. And that is just what the latest studies did. In the Danish study, the people who drank a liter a day of sucrose-sweetened cola did not have just more visceral fat. Their liver and muscle fat also more than doubled. And that's a substantial increase, notes Dr. Stanhope. We had suggested that consuming high amounts of fructose-containing sugars could lead to an increase in liver fat, and this is the first well-controlled study to show it. Now, why does liver fat matter? When the body stores fat anywhere but in the fat cells, it is called ectopic fat. And ectopic fat, especially in the liver, means trouble. When liver fat levels go up, that may trigger the sequence of events that leads to insulin resistance, says Dr. Stanhope. That's when insulin loses its ability to admit blood sugar into cells. And it's often the first step on the road to diabetes or heart disease. The liver may also explain why fructose leads to higher levels of triglycerides. Fructose gets metabolized by the liver very quickly, says Dr. Welch. When there is more sugar than the liver can process, it converts the sugar to fat. And some of the fat goes into the bloodstream. And that is why we get elevated triglycerides. What's more, in Dr. Stanhope's study, the fructose drinkers burned less fat and more carbohydrate. The body does not make fat and burn fat at the same time, she explains. In our study, fat oxidation got blocked every time people drank the fructose drink because that fructose is getting turned into fat. Also troubling, we saw an increase in small, dense LDL cholesterol when people drank fructose, says Dr. Stanhope. Those are cholesterol-carrying particles that are more damaging to arteries than fluffy, large LDL. And Dr. Stanhope noticed something else. LDL increased as much in the high fructose corn syrup group as in the pure fructose group. And that was surprising because the high fructose corn syrup group got less fructose. So, do fructose and glucose together exacerbate the problems? She asks. We can't say at this point, but it is possible that because fructose is activating the pathways by which sugar gets turned into fat, more of the glucose is getting turned into fat too. And as if that were not enough, fructose may also lead to gout, a painful inflammation due to the buildup of uric acid in joints. Fructose has been shown to increase uric acid, says Dr. Malik. And gout also has been associated with sugar-sweetened beverages. The problem is not just that fructose boosts several risk factors for diabetes and cardiovascular disease. It's that these risk factors, that is, abdominal obesity, high triglycerides, and insulin resistance, all exacerbate each other, says Dr. Stanhope. You get a vicious circle going. A case in point, some researchers argue that if you increase visceral fat, it sends out more inflammatory factors, which go back to the liver, where they promote more insulin resistance, she explains. Another example, fructose-containing sugars increase fat-making in the liver, which causes insulin resistance, says Dr. Stanhope. But insulin resistance also increases fat-making in the liver, so all the processes get revved up. So, how much is too much added sugar? In 2009, the American Heart Association suggested a limit. No more than 100 calories a day for women, and no more than 150 calories a day for men. The Heart Association was not just concerned about the worldwide pandemic of obesity and cardiovascular disease, but also about the healthy foods that added sugar replaces. To follow recommendations to lower the risk of heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, hypertension, you name it, you have to use most of your calories for fruits, vegetables, grains, milk, meat, fish, poultry, and oils, explains Susan Krebs-Smith of the National Cancer Institute. Very few calories are left over for empty calories. In her recent analysis of a nationally representative survey of more than 16,000 people, roughly 78% of women and 67% of men ate too much added sugar. For example, for someone who eats 2,000 calories a day, too much was more than 130 calories worth of added sugar, she adds. And not surprisingly, more than 90% of the people also came up short on green and orange vegetables, beans, dairy, and whole grains. Most calories need to count for something nutritionally, adds Dr. Krebs-Smith. But growing evidence suggests that added sugars are not just empty calories. They are harmful calories. We saw huge metabolic differences between people who consumed fructose instead of glucose, despite the same weight gain, says Dr. Stanhope. Many people believe that excess calories are the problem, but it does not matter where they come from. But now we know that is not true. We've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. The show will be rebroadcast this week on Friday at 11 p.m. and on Saturday at 3 p.m. Please join me for the next edition of Nutrition News, which will air on Wednesday, July 4th, 2012. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I hope that you've enjoyed the show. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience, and it is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.